The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions, obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Hello, it's good to be with you again today, and it's a real privilege for me to have this opportunity to come into your home and to share with you God's Word. You know, if I were you and the average person today, and you turn on the television and you watch the TV news, and there's always all this debating going on about Israel, about Palestine, who has the right to the land, and at the same time, most people have some understanding that there is some things in Bible about that. And, you know, if I was the average person who maybe haven't studied my Bible or read it all the way through or haven't paid enough attention to the Bible lessons to know exactly how does the Bible in Israel and today's news in Israel and the land, how does that all fit together and what is it all about? Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing an awful lot of speculation on Bible prophecy, saying the world's going to end real soon, and it could end real soon. I personally believe that the last days of God's plans with Israel are soon to begin, but I am in total disagreement with all those who try to pick a date and tell you that last Monday or the Monday before that, the world was going to end, and of course, obviously, it didn't end, and it's not going to end that way anyhow. But I wanted you to know some things about the Bible, and I thought I'd just go back right to the very beginning and share with you some things about why the land of Israel is so important, why the nation of Israel is so important, and so that next time you see it on the news, you'll not only know that the Bible speaks about it, but you'll at least have some idea to realize that this whole world is running according to God's plan. That these things aren't just coincidental, what we hear in the news today and what the Bible said more than 4,000 years ago, in fact, all the way back to 6,000 years ago. Back in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 12, which takes you back about 4,000 years, takes you back into about B.C. 2000, and there God called out a man named Abraham, and he made some promises to him. Now, the reason he did that, and before I read Genesis 12 and tell you what the promise was made to Abraham, I want you to realize that the reason he called out Abraham is when you read Genesis chapters 10 and 11, you'll find out there that God had made the nations to develop from the time after the flood. They grew and multiplied in the earth, but they decided not to spread out and multiply as God said. In fact, they got together, and that's where the story of the Tower of Babel is recorded. And what that was all about, it was a political leader who called the nations together and said, "Let's not spread out. Let's all be one and unify." And they were going to build a tower, in fact, that would show their unification. And in this tower, it was going to be a place of worship in which it was going to reach unto the heavens, meaning that they would then worship the stars. And man has always been doing that since the very beginning, worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. And at that point, God judged them at the Tower of Babel, confused their language, scattered them out among the earth and spread them out so that they would all go out seeking and trying to know the true God, because they all lost track of who the true God was, all worshiping all kinds of different idols and worshiping the stars and the planets and all of that. And then God chose and out of all those nations called one man, Abraham, from Ur of the Chaldees. And it says in Genesis chapter 12, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, And later on he changes his name to Abraham, but it's the same man. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land I will show thee. So Abraham was to separate himself from the land where he grew up and from the family that he grew up and from the nation he grew up. And then God says, and I will make a great nation, I will make of thee, a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God intended, when he called out Abraham and separated him from his family, separated him from his land, separated him from his nation, is to create from Abraham a brand new nation. A nation through which God would then make himself known to all the families of the earth, all the nations of the earth. And so God created a nation that didn't exist before from Abraham. Now this would be the nation of Israel. Abraham's son was Isaac, and his son, Isaac's son, was Jacob. And when Jacob came to understand what God was doing with him as being a descendant of Abraham and a descendant of Isaac, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel and gave him 12 sons. And those are the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. All this is done so that God might make a way for his name to be known in all the earth by making Abraham and his seed, his nation that's going to become from him, a great nation. And then all the nations of the earth will be blessed because they'll know that the God of Abraham, the God of the nation of Israel, is the true God, and they'll come back to him. Now Abraham left that land, and it says down in verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. He came into the land of Canaan, a land that is now occupied by Palestinians and Jews over in the area of Israel, all the way north of Egypt and south of Syria. All that land there belongs to the nation of Israel from the original promise that God made to Abraham. And he told him, he said, see all that land, it's yours and to your seed after you. It says in chapter 13, verse 15, he said, all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And so that land was supposed to be Abraham's forever, but it was supposed to be the nations of Israel's land in order for them to make God known to everyone in the world. That land is a special land in God's purpose for the earth. When God created the heavens and the earth, he had a purpose for it. And that land of Israel had a specific purpose of God to make himself known through that land. And he finally had to reveal himself to Abraham, to Isaac, and then to Jacob, and to make Jacob know that. Genesis chapter 28, an interesting thing happens to Jacob. He knows who his lineage is. He knows there's supposed to be special promises given to him. But he never realized what great promises they were and that they were of God. In Genesis 28, he's leaving the land, but before he left, God appeared to him. He went to sleep in a certain place. It says in chapter 28, verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, Beersheba is the farther south of the nation of Israel. So he's leaving there and he's going to go north back to his uncle's place to live for a while because his brother's mad at him. But as he's leaving that land, as he's passing through, he just at a certain place, the Bible says, he went to sleep. Verse 11 says, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them put them for his pillow and laid down in that place to sleep. Interesting to me as I read this, that place, that place, that place. Well, that's interesting, or that's important, I should say, in this chapter, because this is the whole importance. He didn't understand what God was going to do with the nation of Israel in that land. He goes to sleep, it says in verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Now, maybe you have heard about the story of Jacob's ladder, but this is it. He sees a ladder from the earth to heaven, but the angels are making a ascent from on that ladder and a descent on the ladder. That is, the angels seem to be going up and then coming back down, as if everything is headquartered down at the bottom of that ladder, which is the earth. And it says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And so Jacob realized that the Lord is there in that place. That was a special place. He said, I never realized that. Verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God. It is the gate of heaven. That is the place in which heaven's reign upon the earth was going to take place. It was the gate through which God was going to descend into the earth and set up his kingdom and his reign upon this earth. And that the angels of God would come down to earth and report to him, and then they would ascend back up into heaven to do their work. And Jacob finally realized that all this interest in this land is because this was God's purpose for giving Abraham that land. Now, you know, if you come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 12, this is now a time where the nation of Israel grew and multiplied in the land of Egypt because God wasn't done dealing with the people who dwelt in that land. It says the people who lived there, the Amorites, their sins were not yet full. God is going to judge those wicked people. They're Canaanites. They're from the descendants of Noah, the first group that we recognize in the Bible that got involved in homosexuality, and all the sins that were involved in Sodom and Gomorrah were being done in this land. And God was going to drive out the inhabitants of that land and give it to Abraham. And now that his seed has multiplied, Moses led them out of Egypt where they had multiplied, led them through the wilderness, and the second generation that came out of Egypt is now getting ready to go in to possess that land. And Moses speaks to them and reminds them of the importance of that land in Deuteronomy chapter 12. In verse 1 it says, these are the statutes and the judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, in all that thou that ye live to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. Now God gave to the nation of Israel his laws because they were going to go and dwell in the land that he's going to give them, and they're going to become his people, and they're going to have to be a holy people because God is holy. So he gives them his laws, and Moses goes on to tell the nation of Israel, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break down their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the name of them out of that place. No heathen idols are going to be named in the land of Israel, because they're going to destroy every remembrance of all the heathen idols that are in that land. And it says, goes on to say, and ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all the tribes to put his name there, even unto this habitation shall ye seek, and hither thou shalt come. And so the nation of Israel was to go and to wipe out the name of all the false gods and establish God's name in that land. And he's going to make himself known in that land. Now this is God's purpose in calling out the nation of Israel, giving Abraham that land, to make his name known and to wipe out the name of the heathen. Now, not the heathen, but the names of the heathen gods. Now you realize that that's really a struggle between God and Satan. Satan is the one who has the world worshiping idols, because when you do that, you're actually worshiping Satan. If he can prevent you from worshiping God, then he's got you worshiping him. And so this is God's plan to win the world back to himself through the nation of Israel. Now, if Satan wants to work against God's plan back then, what he has to do is he has to prevent the nation of Israel from making God's name known in that land. And then if he could keep Israel off of that land, then God's name can't be known in that land. And if he could really be successful, if he could wipe out totally the nation of Israel, the means by which God has chose, the people which God has chose to make his name known, and in the land in which God chose to make his name known, if he could wipe out those people, then Satan will have victory over God. And that's been a problem ever since God began to work his plan through Abraham to do that. But God himself will make himself known to Israel. There's been times, and Moses warns the nation of Israel. In fact, in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, he tells them that if you go in the land and you keep God's laws, he's going to bless you and you're going to stay there. You break God's laws, he's going to judge you and bring you off that land. And so blessings are going to come to them when they obey God, and then cursings will come because the Bible does indicate that they will turn from God and worship the idols of that land, and God will judge them. But God will finally have his way, as we read about a covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It says, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee." The reason they're not in the land, they turned away from God, he cursed them, drove them off the land. Now, as they're out scattered among the Gentiles, it talks about if you think about why you're there, remember that you're there because God is judging you, and shall return unto the Lord thy God and obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. And so basically in this covenant, what it begins to say is that if they realize that they're scattered because they've not obeyed God, not made God's name known, and therefore it looks like Satan's plan is working, he's got them off the land. And isn't it interesting how many times in Israel's history that enemies have tried to wipe out the Jewish people totally? That's a working of Satan in order to try to destroy God's means of making his name known on this earth that he's going to accomplish through the nation of Israel. But in God's judgment, Israel will remember someday that what their promises are. They'll turn back to God and remember his name. And that's important for you to realize because they're to make known his name. But they're going to remember his name in the nations that they're scattered, and they're going to turn back to him. And when they do, God will turn back to them and restore them back to the land and then save that nation of Israel. So that's what God is going to do and has been doing with the nation of Israel in time past. And in future days, he's going to do that. It's interesting with me in 2 Samuel that God takes David, and I'm just going to read you a couple verses from there, that God takes David, and David goes out, and he becomes Israel's great king and establishes the kingdom. In fact, maybe I don't have time to actually read those verses to you. But what he does with David is David goes, and he goes against the strongholds of Zion, and he conquers Jerusalem. For the first time, Israel has control of Jerusalem, and David chooses that place to be the place of his throne. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, God then tells David that he's going to establish David's throne forever, and that there will never be a seed of David that will be hindered from reigning in the kingdom of Israel on the throne of David forever. Now that's interesting. Solomon builds a temple for God to dwell among the nation of Israel. And when he builds that temple, that's David's son, he prays to God and asks God to make his name known in that place. And then God answers in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and tells him, in chapter 7 is the answer, and tells Solomon that he will indeed make his name known in that place. And so all of this centers around that place that was first promised to Abraham. And then David's throne was going to be established in Jerusalem, and God promised it would be established forever in Jerusalem. And then God promised Solomon that his name will be made known in that place. Now, it's interesting because when you come to the first book of the New Testament, you come to the life of Jesus Christ, and the first thing the Bible says about Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, and he is the son of David, the one who has the throne. And he's the son of Abraham, the one who's been promised the land. And he's there to fulfill those promises. No wonder now that John the Baptist in chapter 3 of Matthew begins to his ministry and to preach in the wilderness and say to the nation of Israel, "Repent ye." Why? Rome is ruling over their land. They're scattered out among the Gentiles. But if they think about that, if they repent, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." Why? Well, the Son of David's there, the one who's going to sit on the throne and reign in Jerusalem over the earth forever and make God's name known. Jesus Christ came in the name of God the Father. He is God manifested in the flesh. And He came and, you know, He rode into Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 21. And when He did, He came to present Himself to them as their King, the one who is going to sit on the throne of David, save the nation of Israel, and become a blessing to the entire world because God's rule is going to be established on the earth there in Jerusalem. And that's why that place is so important to God. But the Lord rides in, and the multitude's singing as He comes into Jerusalem in chapter 21, verse 9. It says, "The multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David." They recognized Jesus Christ as the Prince. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." And when He was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" Now I want you to realize there's a group of people following Him and they understand who He is. He's the Son of David. They're saying, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Jesus Christ was God, the Lord, came to establish the reign of God upon the earth. He became a man in order to become to reign on the earth and to reign over mankind. God Himself became a man. And Jesus Christ came in the name of the Lord and is going to establish the name of the Lord in Jerusalem forever. The people shout, "Hosanna!" They're blessing God for this great time that's coming. And then Jesus goes into the temple. Remember, that's the place that Solomon built for God to dwell in. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And He said unto them, "It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. And the chief priests and the scribes saw the wondrous thing that He did, and the children crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," and they were sore displeased. See, Jesus Christ came in the name of God the Father and came to rule over the nation of Israel and came into that temple and called it My House because it's the place that He was going to dwell. It's the city in which He's going to establish the throne of David forever, and He was rejected. 1 week after this event, they put Him on a cross and they crucified Him. But you know, when they rejected Him, He told them all these things were going to come about. He says in chapter 3, verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thee?" That's what God wants to do. Gather the nation. "Gather thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings for protection, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Destruction's coming to the nation of Israel. And I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Until the nation of Israel will remember who Jesus Christ is and know who Jesus Christ is, and to ask Him to come back, Jesus Christ is not coming back. But He's going to bring desolation, destruction upon them. Judgment's going to come upon them until they call for Him. You know, Peter describes this in Acts chapter 2, and he describes the judgment of the tribulation period that's yet to come into this world. And he says, at that point, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why? Great judgment is going to wake the nation of Israel up, that they need Jesus Christ, and then He's going to come back to them. They're going to be fooled by an Antichrist first, but this is what all the land is about. But you know, we live in a day that's been 2,000 years since this time that God has cut off the nation of Israel. And Peter, when he talked about whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, said that in anticipation of great judgment that was going to come upon them. But you know, the Apostle Paul was raised up by God and went and preached a message to Gentiles. And his message is, in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "For there is no difference," speaking about a Jew and Gentile, "there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for the same Lord is rich unto all who call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Paul says that the time of Israel's judgment is postponed. He tells us in chapter 11, that in verse 11, "For I say, have they stumbled, the nation of Israel, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy." Rather than God sending wrath to wake up the nation of Israel and then to come back and reign over them after, in the second coming, God did something different. He raised up the Apostle Paul, and Paul's message is that in this age that we're living in today, God is not dealing with Israel. He's made no difference between a Jew and a Gentile so that he might send the gospel out to everybody and to provoke the nation of Israel to receive their Messiah, because now Jesus Christ belongs to all who call upon him. And Paul, when he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," is extending that not just to Israel in judgment, and realizing they need Jesus Christ and they call upon him, but Paul says it in the sense that he's rich unto all who call upon him. That is, he's rich in grace, rich in mercy. He's postponed the future days, and he's not dealing with Israel in their land and out of their land today. He's dealing with Gentiles and giving all of mankind an opportunity to be saved. He's no longer just the God of Israel. He's no longer trying to fulfill the making his name known in the world through Israel. He's making his name known through the preaching of the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ, because it's that gospel that Paul goes out and preaches and says that if we'll realize that we're sinners and that Christ died on the cross for our sins and totally took care of our sin problem, that we can be saved. But how? Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Why don't you do that?
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.